On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb.
There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it.
His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow.
The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men.
In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the angel said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?
He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee.
The Son of Man must be delivered over the hands of the sinner,
be crucified, and on the third day be raised again."
"Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee.
There you will see him. Now I have told you.'"
So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples.
Wasn't that video great? Thank you to everyone who helped us in taking part in that reading. But you know why I loved that video? I loved it for two reasons. Number one is because getting to see so many of the Ashworth folks that we haven't gotten to see in a while. I miss seeing you. So seeing your faces even on the screen brought a smile to my face, and it makes me very happy to see you guys even if it's on video. But you know, the second reason I love that video is because here we have the story of the resurrection. But it's not just a single story. It's not a made-up story of fiction that somebody thought of one day. What this is a reminder of is the resurrection is the climax, the pinnacle, the apex of this grand narrative that God has been writing since the dawn of creation. And it builds through the Old Testament. It takes a giant leap forward in the ministry of Jesus. And then you have the tension of the crucifixion on the cross. And you think all is lost, and then you come to Easter Sunday morning, and it's the pinnacle of the narrative that God has been writing, and He continues to write that story through us today. And so I love the Easter story. Well, happy Easter. Thank you so much for joining us today. Who would have guessed just a few weeks ago that this would be how we would need to celebrate Easter 2020? But I'm so glad that you're connecting with us online today. You know, it is Easter, and I thought we've got the technology, so we might as well use it. So right now in your chat window, what I want to do is ask you a question and get you to respond. So get those fingers ready. Are you ready for your Easter question? It's very spiritual. What is your favorite Easter candy? What is your favorite Easter candy? I'm going to give you a few seconds to write your response now, so go right ahead. All right, thanks for answering that question. Now, I hope nobody was being rude on the chat or be hating on somebody else because of what they said was their favorite candy. Now, as I tell you mine, no hating on me either, because let me tell you, my favorite Easter candy is Peeps. My family know this about me. I love Peeps, but a qualifier, I like the original Peeps, the yellow and pink Peeps. Don't give me any of those gross new flavors that they're trying to come out with. Evidently, they came out with a new flavor in 2020 called COVID-19. No, I'm just kidding. It's actually called chocolate pudding, which doesn't sound any better than a COVID-19 flavor. But hey, don't hate on me. I realize it's pure sugar. It's candy. That's what it's supposed to be. But oh, that marshmallowy goodness. I just love it. Thanks for helping me out by answering that question. You know, as we've survived another week in quarantine and separated from each other, it's been another week of listening to the news and ups and downs, and here's good things and bad things. And I don't know about you, but I sit here and as I watch all this going on, my mind just continually races with questions. And it was that thought that led us to begin this series that we're in right now, that we started last week, that we're calling Questioning Jesus. You know, when you begin to look at the life and the ministry of Jesus, you realize that all throughout his time on earth, he was surrounded with and asked multiple questions at different times. And I began to think, I wonder if we took a dive into the questions that were around the ministry of Jesus then, could they have an impact on us now? And so that's why we're considering how the questions that were posed to Jesus, that were just around Jesus, how can those questions shape our faith? And so we're going to dig into those today. And we're going to begin with the questions that surround Easter. Now, I realize that even saying that, that for many people, there can be a ton of questions that surround Jesus and surround the resurrection. But I don't want to talk about the questions that may be outside the narrative. What I want to look at today is really dig in to three questions that I found in the Easter narrative to see how they might be able to shape and impact our faith today. And so what we begin with is we're going to begin by looking at a passage in Mark, a passage in Luke, and a passage in John. And each of these passages have different questions. And we're going to dig in and answer the questions of Easter and see how they impact us today. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to begin in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And here's what we're going to read there. It says here, "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, 'Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?'" If you go back and you read John's Gospel, it tells us that they began this journey of going to the tomb very early in the morning. In fact, it was still dark. They're still walking as the sun is coming up. And I would love to have been a part of this traveling group of women to hear how this conversation would have gone as they walked together. I'm assuming that as they're walking, the pain that they felt was still there. The grief was still there. The shock of what had happened was still there. But I'm sure they comforted one another and they would share stories. And it would probably go something like it would be if you and I were walking, remembering someone we cared about. Because these women had followed Jesus. They were supporters. They'd been a part of his ministry for some time. I imagine they shared stories and they said, "Oh, do you remember when Jesus did this? And oh, did you remember when Jesus healed this person?" Or that crazy story that Jesus told. And I imagine as they walked, there would have been laughter and there would have been tears and had just a joy in remembering the person of Jesus. But as they got closer to the tomb, they began to ask a very practical question, because here we have some women. They're not strong enough to move the stone that's in front of the tomb. And so they really need to begin to think about what's going to happen when we get there. What's going to happen? How are we going to get in to do what we need to do? And as I read this story, as I thought about these women walking in the dark of the morning, and as they're talking and as they get to getting ready to get close to the tomb, I thought to myself, you know, are we sometimes feeling like they must have felt, walking in the dark, going in a direction we feel like we need to go, but not really knowing how we're going to get there, what we're going to do, or how we're going to be able to do what we need to do when we get there? You know, maybe we ask the questions like they ask. Sometimes our questions like their question can be very practical. You know, maybe even during this time, you have some very practical questions like, when will this be over? When will life get back to normal? When can I go work in my office again? Or maybe it's questions of what if? What if I get sick? What if one of my kids gets sick? Or maybe you sit there and you've lost your job and you're trying to make ends meet and your question is, I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. What am I going to do? Where is my food and my rent and my mortgage payment going to come from? These times also can lead to those larger existential questions of why is this happening and what good could possibly come from this? You know, what I want you to be reminded of this morning is that even as we look at three different questions, starting with this one, God never has a problem with your question. God never has a problem when we're going through life and stuff happens to us and we stop and we ask some very important questions. Where it would be beneficial for us to remember that even on the cross, as Jesus is being crucified, he cries out in a moment where he's quoting one of the Psalms and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" God is never turned off or put off or repulsed by our questions. We can always bring our questions to him. And this day, the women knew that this question that they asked was about an obstacle that was going to be in their way. They knew they couldn't move it, but what they did know and what we see from them in this moment is so important. Because as they ask this question, what we find is that they continue to move forward. They don't allow the potential obstacle before them to stop their forward progress, to stop them from growing in faith, from stopping them from doing what they feel like they need to be doing. You know, even when we see obstacles in our way, even if we don't understand, like the women in this moment didn't know how it would be resolved, maybe we don't know how it's going to be resolved, we always need to keep moving forward. We need to move forward because we don't know what God can do with the obstacle that might be in our way, how God might be able to use that obstacle, or how God might remove that obstacle. You know, if you keep reading in Mark 16, it says next, it says, but when they looked up, when they got to the tomb, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. Can you imagine what would have happened in this moment if these women would have abandoned that journey? If they'd have gone, oh, you're right, we don't know who's going to move the stone. Let's just go home. They would have missed the resurrection. They would have missed seeing the empty tomb. They would have missed being the heralds, the apostles, of being able to be the first people to tell the entire world that Jesus had risen from the dead. But they didn't stop. They didn't move. They didn't go backwards. They didn't go home. They kept moving forward. And what a joy and a privilege they experienced because they did. We must remember that what appears to be obstacles to us, they're not obstacles to God. In fact, our obstacles often become opportunities in the hand of God, opportunities for us to experience God in a new way, opportunities for us, for God to do something new, or for us to experience God in ways, for God to teach us something that we might not be able to learn otherwise had we not experienced that obstacles. And when we fret about the obstacles in our way, if we keep moving forward, sometimes we'll find that already when we get there, God has removed them from our path. What obstacles are you facing today? Where do you need God to roll a stone away in your life? God is still in the stone rolling business. There's another question, though, that we jump over to Luke's gospel and we pick up the story there. Listen here as we read in Luke's gospel. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood before them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. Look at that amazing and powerful question. Why do you look for the living among the dead? What an incredibly powerful moment. They were where they thought they needed to be, doing what they thought they needed to be doing, to anoint the dead body of Jesus with spices. But what they found in that moment was what they were looking for was not where they thought it would be. Where they thought they would find it, it wasn't there. They were looking in the wrong place. Too often I wonder about us in our own lives. Do we find ourselves looking for what we desire so much in the wrong places? We're looking for assurance. We're looking for comfort. We're looking for joy. We're looking for security and contentment and peace. But we find ourselves looking in the exact wrong places. You know, for some of us, we want significance. And so we throw ourselves into our careers thinking that if we make a name for ourselves, we'll be significant, only to find that there's always more notoriety for somebody else, and we find ourselves lacking. We chase after money thinking that's where true security, thinking that's where true contentment is fine. But then we find our lives devolving into this mantra that just eats us up, which is just simply, I need just a little bit more. I need just a little bit more. And we chase after relationships thinking this is going to make me feel special. This is going to be where I find significance. But let's be honest, being quarantined together will dash that completely away. It will reveal the cracks in understanding that if you're looking for somebody else to find significance, you're going to be sorely mistaken. I say that only partially kidding, but we'll never find that significance in another person. You see, what's amazing in this moment is the angels say, "Why are you looking for that in the wrong place?" And then they tell these women, they say, "Ah, but remember. Remember what Jesus told you. Remember who he is. Remember what he said he would do." And I think that is what, in these moments of our lives, when we're looking, when we're desiring significance, contentment, peace, life, whatever, it's when we need to find those moments to stop. And we need to remember. We need to remember who God is. We need to remember who Jesus is, the Son of God, who has come into this world to be one of us, to take on himself our sin, our shame, our pain, our struggles, and take it to the cross, and take our death and nail it to the cross, and defeat death by rising from the dead and leaving an empty tomb. We need to remember that God, who created us and shaped us and formed us, that he has a desire for us to live not the life that the world tells us is life, but something so much better, so much greater than this world could ever possibly offer us. I think that question is important for us today. Just like the first question, what obstacle might be in your way? The second question is equally important. What are you looking for? But even more important is, where are you looking for it? Where are you trying to find it? Think about that question. And then we turn to the third question and we move to the Gospel of John, John chapter 20. And look with me here as we find our third question here. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Did you catch that question? "Woman, why are you crying?" And then he asked that second question we've already addressed, "Who is it you are looking for?" Why are you crying? To me, this may be one of the most profound and overlooked and most beautiful parts of the resurrection story. You see, we need to remember who Mary is. Mary Magdalene, she was one who we're told Jesus cast demons out of. That so she has experienced the power of Jesus in her life. She'd followed him around. She'd heard his teaching. She'd seen him do the miraculous. She'd heard him talk about his own death and his resurrection. She believed he was the promised one, the Messiah. Yet in this moment, she was not thinking resurrection. All she can see before her is an empty tomb and think that someone has stolen the body of Jesus. And in this beautiful moment, Jesus comes up to her and he calls her by name. And it's only when he calls her by name that she recognizes who he is. The question didn't prompt it. The looking at him didn't even prompt it. It was when he called her name that gets her attention. She realizes who he is and she gets it. She understands this is Jesus. He was dead and now he's alive. But the significant thing, and to me, is this, that in this moment of grief, in this moment of just excruciating pain, I mean, the passage here says she's weeping, she's wailing, she's in intense pain in this moment. The grief she is carrying is real. And in the moment of her deepest and darkest pain, Jesus comes up to her and he doesn't chastise her. He asks her, he says, "Why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" And then he calls her name. And I wonder if sometimes if Jesus isn't calling our name to get our attention, but we're so overwhelmed with our own pain, our own grief, our own circumstances, with our own desires, that we miss Jesus. You say, are you crying this morning? Maybe you're physically crying. Maybe it's not physically crying. Maybe you've suffered loss. Maybe you've suffered loss. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you've lost relationships. Maybe you've lost your sanity. Who's immune from that right now? But seriously, maybe you feel like you've lost hope. What I want you to understand is Jesus is with you. He's there, right there with you, and he's calling your name. And him calling your name is nothing more than a reminder that whatever you're going through, whatever you're experiencing, you have not been left alone. Jesus is right there with you. You see, the Easter story is a story of a lot of questions, but it's not just a story of questions. It's a story of victory, that obstacles are removed, that there is life where there only appears to be death, and that in the middle of our tears, Jesus has never left us. He's right there with us. You see, Easter is that reminder that no matter what we may be going through physically, that there is something bigger going on around us spiritually. And we need to see beyond the obstacles in our way, beyond our misunderstandings of the empty tomb, beyond the grief that we may be experiencing right now. We need to see something bigger is happening around us. You see, to understand what is happening at Easter is to understand that God is still good, that God still loves you, that God is still involved, and God wants you to experience love and joy and peace and life. And that in the midst of what may be your impossible situation, that God is still the God of the impossible, that He can do what no one else can do. I just want to ask you this morning, what obstacles are in your way? Are they still there, or has God already moved them or shown you that there's going to be a way around them or another way? What are you looking for? Are you looking in the right places? And more importantly, are you even looking for the right things or the right person? Why are you crying? Can you take that grief to the one who can comfort you in your deepest sorrow and take it to the rock that you can hold firmly to in the midst of the storm? You see, He is alive. And it is because of the resurrection. It means that nothing is necessarily as it seems, that it may not be as it appears to be, that God can turn it around, and that God can do something amazing because of the empty tomb. Let's pray. God, this morning, I pray that all those who are listening to this message, that they might find hope and comfort through the message of the empty tomb, that when we come with our questions, we can see, God, that the obstacles are not insurmountable for You, that You can remove any stone that might be in our way and use it as an opportunity to show us more and greater who You are and who You can be in our lives. God, through the empty tomb, that we can see that we might be looking for the wrong things or the wrong person in the wrong places. God, move our eyes to where we need to be looking this morning. And God, in the moments of our deepest grief, You don't come and chastise us and say, stop crying. It's a reminder to us that as You call out to us and You say our name, that You are right there with us in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of our grief, that You have never left us, and that You are still the God of the impossible, that You are Jesus Christ, the one who was dead, who is now risen from the grave. God, thank You for this incredible story of power and of victory in Jesus Christ today. It's in His name we pray. Amen. You know, as we close our service today, we're going to have one more song. I pray that before you log out or turn off the computer, I pray that you'll sit and reflect through the words of this song. Sing with it or just listen and allow God to speak to you today. Maybe you listened to this message this morning and you realize that you've never personally experienced the power of Jesus Christ in your life. I want you to know today that He went to the cross and He rose from the grave so that you can know Him and experience the same life that He offers all of us today. If you would like to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you, there's going to be a link over in the chat window. Click that link and reach out to us so that we can walk you through what it means to know, love, and follow Jesus and live in relationship with the God who loves you so much. Thank you so much for joining us today.